Well, turn with me again to the epistle of 1 John. This wonderful epistle. I've been just taking a few stopping points here over the last few months. It's been a joy to me. I have said when we started, when we were going to look at a few of these, that this is called the epistle of the things we can know, or what's also called the epistle of certainties. The Christian can be certain, absolutely certain, even as Stephen was teaching the children, of what God has said, but particularly what He's done in His children, those that He saved. John repeats this phrase, "By this we know," many, many times, and he's emphasizing the certainty of the Christian's life. We can know this. By this we know, and I've pointed that out as we've made our journey through these initial studies. So far, we've looked at two of these themes. The Christian can know that they know God. By this we know that we know God if we keep His commands, His commandments. That's one of those themes that we see in this letter. We see another one. By this we know that we've passed from death to life if we love the brethren, we love God's people. Today, the reality of the Holy Spirit in us. This could go on for months. We're here being shepherded and washed and taught by the Holy Spirit. May the Lord help us. 1 John chapter 3, the very last verse of that chapter, and then we'll look at one verse in chapter 4. John, who wrote a lot about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, look what he writes here. Verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him," meaning in God, "and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." By the Spirit of the Holy Spirit which he hath given us. Look over at chapter 4, verse 13. "Hereby," or "by this we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Amen. May God bless his word. Let me pray. Father, this day, this time, this teaching, it's all yours. We thank you, Lord, that you are the triune God who shepherds your people, that we have your Spirit. What a merciful, ever-present God and Savior and helper and keeper. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be together, for the privilege to have your word in front of us. Make it alive to us, a treasure to us. Teach us now, Lord. Blessed be your name. We love you. Amen. It has been said that we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. Have you heard that phrase? We live in the age of the Holy Spirit. You've heard this. Since that marvelous day at Pentecost, that incredible day where the Holy Spirit is just poured out and hundreds, thousands have gathered, that day particularly began the age of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus had ascended into the heavens, and he said he would send the Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and it was poured out. And since that day, every age since then, meaning every century, every time that we think back to that day, every age has been the age of the Holy Spirit. All that we receive and participate in day by day in Christ Jesus is because of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, beloved, has the Holy Spirit. Every one of you that have been born of God has in you the Holy Spirit. There's no exceptions. When we're converted as a child, a young teenager, we have the Holy Spirit. Learning and knowing Him and learning more about Him and His leading has differences and distinctions in every Christian life, but they each have the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible, overwhelming, mind-boggling truth for the true Christian, for the followers of Jesus Christ. And I venture to say that we probably just don't think on this as nearly as much as we should, that we are in the Holy Spirit and He is our great shepherd. He is the witness or the fullness of God in Christ and in the Father and the Spirit. That's how we're experiencing Him. And we probably just don't think about this as much as we should. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is not just merely an influence in our lives. He's not just an influence. He lives in us. He is alive in us. He is the third person of the triune God. Think of this, beloved. We can get so caught up in just the kind of the truth of it, if you want to say the academics of it, we miss the reality. This is lived out. This is experientially being walked in. The third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And that's what John is saying. I love this phrase by Brother John MacArthur. Let me read this. I rarely read a quote of his, but this is so beautiful. The Holy Spirit fills us, seals us, communes with us, fellowships with us, intercedes for us, comforts us, admonishes us, sanctifies us, and enables us to resist sin and to serve our great God. That's the truth of the Holy Spirit, at least in that one statement. What he's saying is full of truth. So, beloved saints, let's be reminded of this again today. To be in Christ Jesus is to have Him in us by the Holy Spirit. And what that means in terms of daily living and grace and help and comfort and wisdom and truth being open to us. In John's epistle, several times he uses this same phrase. He references the life or the living reality of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. And so I've just read two of these verses, chapter 3, verse 24, and we're going to look at one main theme from that verse. And then he says it almost the same again in chapter 4, verse 13. And I want us to see both of these verses initially. This is just still pretty high level, and I grant that. And I know that even in previous months, Brother Lee has taught through Romans 8, and it's been marvelous. So there has been some fresh teaching and glorious truths coming to us. But I want us to see verse 24 from chapter 3 and verse 13 from chapter 4. And then I'd like to add to that a few more realities, glorious realities of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. First, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That term dwells. Let's go back. Look at verse 24 from chapter 3, the second part. And hereby, or we can be certain of this, we know that He abides in us, meaning the Son of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. How does He abide in us? By the Spirit which He hath given us. You see that word, abide. So let's just break this down. How does the God the Father, how does the Lord Jesus Christ the Son, how do they actually abide with us? How does that happen? How do they, the Father's in heaven, the Lord Jesus is ascended to heaven, how do they abide with us? This is what John's getting. He's given us of His Spirit. It's exactly what Jesus said to the apostles there. That last night, He said, I will send the Comforter. And that has been true through the ages, as I've said as I started. He abides with us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is how we experience and know Christ Jesus and know God the Father. He is abiding with us. It's also translated dwell, or it's the same word. You can say in some translations, we know that He dwells in us. Beautiful truth here. Abides. You know, you think of the Lord Jesus, He speaks, particularly in the John 16, you hear Him speaking about abiding. John 15, abiding. This thing of being there with you. So you can look at it in the word here, abide or dwell. But I want to emphasize the word dwell. How do we know God? How do we have Christ Jesus? How do we have Him in knowing? Because He's sent of His Spirit in us. Sometimes we get scared of this. We don't need to be scared about it. We want more of the Holy Spirit. We want more of Him. He's with us. I started thinking back as a boy and being converted and growing into teenagers, the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, you young people that have been already born of God, just lay hold of this. Let it liberate you in Him.
we were reading, I was just some of those phrases and those songs that we're singing, make me alive, or this truth of make me more in devotion to you. He's in us. He dwells in us. That's what John is saying. He's staying with us. What a staggering truth. Staying with us. We saw in Colossians a couple of years ago when preaching through that, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery which hath been hid from generations, which is Christ in you. They had him. Jonathan Edwards had him. Augustine had him. Francis Abigail had him. Amy Carmichael. They have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And we sometimes just want to hold back. I'm not sure where he's going to go. Well, let him go in you and with you. He's in us. The Greek word here is meno. Meno is the word, the Greek word here, and it's used in the English. We see it when you see the word abide or dwell. So often in the New Testament, it's the exact same Greek word. Here's what it means, beloved. It means that he stays, he's remaining, or he's always present. It's not one of these come and go. It's not like us with each other. You see each other, we depart. The Holy Spirit is with us every breath. We will be with him forever. God has assured our salvation in so many glorious ways, but certainly by giving of his Spirit to make us sons and daughters of him. He's present with us. Sometimes we'll say he seems so far away, and that does happen. Sin and difficulties. But he's not left. Not left. He remains. He's dwelling. Now this dwelling carries the idea of being in your home. Actually being in the place you live. When we think about it, they would ask Jesus, where do you dwell? Where do you abide? Same word. And Jesus would answer them. You remember some of his answers, but this has the meaning, saints, of the Holy Spirit, that he takes up residence in you. Incredible. Which means, by deduction, we don't own ourselves anymore, right? That's why so many of the epistles give the basis of living in holiness and surrendering yourself, because now you're not the permanent resident anymore. Yes, you're here, but he has you. He's taken over the deed, if you will. You own property, and if it's in your name and it's in the county records, that's a good thing. It is a good thing. But when we're talking about the new birth in a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence, and he takes ownership of the home. And so therefore, everything about us is his, and his purification, and his teaching us, and he teaching us to put off things and to put on more of Christ Jesus. This is his indwelling. Just an awesome, awesome truth to remain, that he takes up residency. Oh, just walk away today being reminded, oh Lord, you're in me. I'm yours. Doesn't matter if I'm alone or I get to sing the wonderful songs of God with 100 or 5,000 people. Either way, you're with me. Sister Amber right now, such need for God and his mercy to quicken and give help. He's with her. Man, these truths, beloved, for how we live and what we're about, to be reminded. And we see the splendor of this truth. John 14 and Romans 8 are glorious realities of this truth of the Holy Spirit. John 14, Jesus is speaking in such magnificent terms. The apostles, the disciples are listening to him, but he's speaking of what is about to come. They don't want him to leave. And yet he's saying, it's better I go now. I'm going to send the Comforter, or as Spurgeon loves to say, the Paraclete. I'm going to send the Comforter to you, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Let me read this, John 14, verse 16 and 17. I'll just read it to you. And Jesus said to them, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. Personal pronoun, the person of the Holy Spirit. That he, listen to this, that he may abide with you forever. There it is, the same emphasis here, the same word. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but ye know him. They were already his servants, Peter and those apostles. They were already his, but he says here, but you will know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. You see, beloved, he's speaking in a language of him taking up total habitation in them and in every Christian. Abide, dwell, shall be in you, full of this reality. that the Holy Spirit is in the Christian, every Christian. Paul goes into this same truth, this same layers of the magnificence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. Think about this. Through the first seven chapters of Romans, I think the Holy Spirit, if I'm not incorrect, had only been mentioned one time. Seven chapters. Magnificent teaching of Paul. And then he gets to chapter 8 and he gets into the Holy Spirit. Almost 20 times in chapter 8, Paul is addressing this reality of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life. And he talks about those who don't have the Spirit, they're not sons, and those who do. Let's go back and read it today. And so Paul is emphasizing again what Jesus has already said in John 14. He comes and dwells in his people. Romans 8, verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if so be, or because the Spirit of God dwells in you." See, he's contrasting. We used to be in the flesh. Everything was about the flesh and what men in their fallen, hopeless estate think and do and act and say. But now he says, no more. You're no longer. Yes, we live. We still have a physical frame we're in. But now he's saying there's something bigger, that's the greater reality that controls you, leads you, moves you. You're in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's taken up his habitation with you. So, beloved, based on this truth, no Christian needs to question whether they have God living in them by the Holy Spirit. They don't need to doubt. This is clear. This is very clear. Do we doubt His nearness, His precious helping us in times of need? Yes, we do. But I'm wanting to remind us, there's no reason to ever doubt if you're a true Christian. I wonder if I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You just need to ask Him for more. More of Him, more of communion with Him, more relationship with Him, because He's in you. And so God, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, He makes us more living in the realities of communion with God. We have Him. Wow. Let's go to the second way John deals with it. Go back to chapter 4, verse 13. The first, I wanted to emphasize that He dwells, He takes habitation in the Christian. Think of the layers of this. What it means if He lives in us. He's protecting us. He's shaping our thinking. He's giving us new motives, new interests, new loves, new delights. We just could go on and on. But here on this next verse, the Holy Spirit is given unto us. That's the theme here I want to emphasize. Verse 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us," or in some of the translation, "given to you the Spirit," His Spirit. John here is emphasizing in a slightly different rendering of the statement that the gift or the giving of the Holy Spirit in every single Christian. What happened at Pentecost was the giving of the Holy Spirit. Incredible. How did you get Him? By faith. Hang on here. Faith is the conduit. We're looking to Him. Faith is significant. It's absolutely huge. We come to Christ by faith. We turn away from self and we put all our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that is right. But how did we get the Holy Spirit? Did you do something? Did something happen on our part? And the answer, saints, in the most simple form is no. God gave Him to us. We didn't earn Him. We didn't ask Him for the second baptism of the Holy Spirit, which the Pentecostals, or not the Pentecostals, but the Charismatics, many men for decades have corrupted that kind of teaching. I got the second blessing. I got this extra. I asked for it. No. He gave us in His Son His Spirit. We didn't do it. He says He's given unto us because He gave it unto us. He did it. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, right? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, you remember that? And the renewing, you could even say the giving of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of God. He was given to us. Wow. Here, the Greek word is didyme. Didyme, which means to bestow. You know what it's like to give something to somebody, especially when you surprise them. But in this case, God, by His glorious saving mercy in our life, He bestows upon us His Spirit. So if He's given us of His Spirit and He's bestowed it upon us, He can increase ever the more what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. It doesn't have to be limited. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to hold back and say, I don't know what's next. Let the Spirit of God just take you on. Your reading, your life, your pursuit of holiness, your love for what is pure and right. It's the gift. It's the gift of God. He grants. That's what that word means. He is bestowed. He is put into you as a gift Himself. As they say, there's no greater gift that can be given than to give of yourself. What other religion in the history of the world remotely comes close to this kind of language? God in the heavens, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, living, ever Savior, they, through the third person in the triune God, give us the Spirit. And it's a gift. Men don't earn it. Men don't bargain for it. Men don't wrestle for it in their own way. They don't offer up sacrifices and other works of men. God in His great mercy gives it. He bestows it. He's in us because He's chosen to do it. Man, now we're getting into the sovereignty of God and all things pertaining to salvation. We can ask Him for more. When we say, Lord, we want more of Your Spirit, we're not talking about measuring things. More of the reality of what He is in us. Otherwise, we start using metrics. That brother or that sister has more. And so God's only given small portions to them. That's not correct. We have His Spirit, the growth in it, the power of God in His Spirit, the understanding, the moving of the Holy Spirit has variety in different Christians, but He'll give us more because it's His gift. He has granted us His Spirit. And that's what John is emphasizing here to these Christians, these first century Christians. Not only does He dwell in you, but He's reminding them, we know that we're His. That's His basis of thought. We know that we dwell in Him. There it is. We're abiding in Him, living in Him, and Him and us, meaning we're living together. We have union. He's coming to us. We know this because He's given us the Spirit. He's given the Holy Spirit. We tend to know this, beloved. We know it, like I said, sometimes in a way that's intellectual, and yet we tend to hold back of living in the fullness of it. When I'm in my home or when I'm in my place, I live, I sing, I share meals, right? I live. When He comes in us, He lives. It's His gift in us. And He wants, there ought to be celebration. There ought to be joy overflowing, right? Romans 5, He sheds abroad His love in our heart by the Holy Spirit. He sheds abroad. He helps us through hard things. And He's speaking to us in His indwelling of His love, of His grace, of His help, of His power. Just tremendous. Bestowing and granting. So the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, is a personal gift to you and I. What we want for our fellow man, for fellow friends, people we care for, we want them to come to Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit in their life, is it will transform everything. Enough with men's techniques to reform. Only God can do it, and He'll give. He does give the gift of His Spirit. Wow. Like I said, there's just depth to these things, incredible realities to these things. And we could pause right now. And some of you that are struggle. We struggle with assurance. People struggle. We understand that. I realize that. But what I don't want us to struggle with today is to acknowledge and know that the Holy Spirit is in every child of God. Sometimes that's the biggest block. We're wanting to know more of, how do I know? Well, read 1 John. All these characteristics of the true Christian. And the Holy Spirit is the power and the person in you that causes you to love His commands, keep His commands, causes you to love the brethren, causes you to walk in holiness and these great truths in this letter. So He dwells in us, and He's a gift. There's three other aspects, beloved, I want to touch on today because I think it'll just re-anchor us in ways in the living and knowing the Holy Spirit in our life. Three other great truths. Stay with me. Here's one. The Holy Spirit witnesses to our spiritual adoption. He testifies in us that we're sons of God. What a truth this is. This thing of spiritual adoption. We've been brought into the family of God. And so he gives or assures us the reality of our being sons of God. How do we get? Yes, we get it by reading this. We can read this. Jesse and Michaela, they're as much my children as the other children. Absolutely as much. But they don't go read any of the legal paperwork. If y'all follow me here. Jesse and Michaela know that they're our son and daughter because it's relational. They're ours. They've been brought in. God did it. We're all one family. We're sons and daughters. They, in their case, they're son and daughter of ours because they are a part of us. They are with us. They are loved. They are treated and cherished as true children. They are in every way. Precious. This is this picture of the Christian in adoption. We've been brought into Jesus Christ. We've been brought into the family of God by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit witnesses. He shows us this. He shows us that we're sons and daughters. He makes it real to us. Paul said this to the Galatians, chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And you cry, Abba, Father. There it is. He's sent forth. He's given unto you the Spirit of His Son in our lives, in our hearts, in our inner man, because we are sons. Spiritual sons and daughters of God, made alive in Him, children of His, and we relate to Him in that way. Children of the living God. The Holy Spirit makes that reality to you and I. How often do you think of that during the week? How often do you think of that when you read the Scriptures? I'm a son of the living God. The Holy Spirit is reminding us of that. He's bringing that ever before us. He's teaching us that I'm His. Wow. I'm His. The one great reality in the earth now is that I am His and He is mine. Forever. Forever. And he makes this active to you. If that seemed to be a dry stretch for you in these weeks, months, the last year, asking, oh, blessed Spirit of God, make my sonship more precious and acutely aware in my mind and heart. Come, speak to me. Stir me. Quicken life and joy and fresh communion with you. He will do this. Sons and daughter. I like how one man said in his writings, the Holy Spirit is the leading hand of God at work in your life. Now picture this. The leading hand of God in your life. The Holy Spirit is God's hand clasping our hand, leading us along. That's really a beautiful picture. And we can get a mental image of this, can't we? Holding the hand. God leading us along in His glorious grace, the leading hand. So if God is leading us along, then He's right there with us. The Holy Spirit's right there. Sometimes when I picture or see you men, particularly the men, but it's true with your moms as well, I'll see you coming in or leaving as the day's finished, and you have your hand down. Sometimes it's just one finger, right? Sometimes it's two. And they're holding your hand. Your little ones. I can remember. I can think back when Michaela was little. And she'd just hold on to my finger, my two fingers. And I can think back of Bethany when she was a little girl. And I can think back of Jabin when he was a little boy. And I can see this with you. And I can see this picture. This glorious, it's just a picture to us. But if God is leading us along by His Spirit, that's what it's like. A child holds on to dad's or mom's finger or hand because they're bound to them. There's a connection to them. And dad will protect and dad will teach and mom will love them and comfort them. Just a glorious picture, saints. The Father in heaven holds us. He holds us. And the Holy Spirit is the reality of that. He sent His Spirit. That we have this sonship. That's what this theme is about. We have sonship. We're children of His, and He relates to us that way. He doesn't relate to us like a distant king that you've got to get permission to go see. He relates to us right now as a Father who loves us. And so we can cry out to Him, "Oh, Lord, help me now." So much more than an earthly father ever could. Just a glorious reality, saints. Our Father, God the Father, wants us to be certain we belong to Him. He doesn't want to leave us in a confused state. I don't know. Saints, so often we just don't put our hand in His. We don't. And the Holy Spirit is saying, "Come, trust me, go with me." Could be going into a prayer meeting. Saints, we don't need to hold back. He'll teach us. He'll draw us. It could be other things in living out the Christian life. We don't want to quit holding on, trusting Him. Our Father wants us to be certain that He is leading us along, and He wants us to be totally secure in Him. Where are you secure? You'll have moments in the week or things that'll come, it'll trouble you, scare you, it'll frighten you. Could be just in the mind. It could be some circumstance that's in society. And we have to remember our Savior, our glorious Redeemer, is with us by His Spirit, and He wants us to be certain He's with us. We're secure. More secure is no one ever, the hymn writer said. So true for us. Paul said this to the Roman Christians, Romans 8. I said Romans 8 is a gold mine of the reality of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life. Listen to this. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. What does He bear witness with our spirit? That we are the children of God. That may be the great truth today that you take away. Lord, bear witness more today that I am your child. Shower me with your love, in your truth, in your nearness. Oh, saints, this theme of Him witnessing, Him testifying in our lives that we're sons of God and that we've been adopted forever to be His is real. It is experiential. It is Him speaking, Him making alive to us that we're sons of His. This is not a dead book. It's a living book. It's a Father and it's a Savior to His people. And they have the Spirit so they can understand these things. As they say, it's a love letter to His redeemed people. Even the hard things that we read in some of the books, we still see them as they're coming from our Heavenly Father. The Spirit makes it that way to us. So we can always come to Him as our Heavenly Father because, like the picture shows, He's holding us by the Holy Spirit. Second, another truth I want to emphasize, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Again, I'm just elaborating because this 1 John teaching is so wonderful, but I'm wanting just today, since we're touching on it, I want to add a few more of these truths that come from other letters. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit gives us illumination. We're speaking in miraculous terms now. Miraculous terms in that we all have a certain capacity intellectually. We have a certain ability to, right, just in terms of languages or studying certain subjects, and you realize you feel like, but is it when it comes to understanding this and for God to make it more and more alive and real and precious to us, He gives illumination. We're talking about divine things become, we're seeing things, we're beholding things. This might scare us, and I'm not trying to be mystical. I'm not trying to be bizarre. We're not trying to find codes in weird things. We're talking about understanding the depths and the riches and the fullness of the gospel in Jesus Christ. He illumines these things to us. I didn't read the book of Romans at 20 years old with the same understanding that I would have now. And that's by the grace of God. He's opening more of it to you. Every now and then you'll go back to one of the prophets or you'll go back to Song of Solomon and you just say, I've seen things. Things are there now that I've never seen before. Yeah. It's not because you've come up with some new code. It's because he's putting more light on it. It's wonderful when y'all will say to each other, I turned the other day and I turned to 1 Peter or whatever book you might have turned to. I'm in the Gospel of Luke. And you'll say, I never have seen it like that. What are you saying? He's giving more illumination. He teaches us. John 14, back to Jesus speaking to his men. Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." He shall teach you all things. We need to remember every day, every time we gather here, when we open this book, "Lord, open my eyes that I may see more of you, to know you, to love you, to cherish you." He teaches us. That's part of our, I think, our gap, or sometimes our limitation, is we're trying to study the Scriptures as though it's just an intellectual thing. It's dangerous. We need to ask Him to make it meat and drink to us, that it leaps off the page, it affects the heart, that affects our emotions, that affects our view towards others, that affects our view towards living life right now. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." All of these. But the Holy Spirit makes it more and more that way. So as you read and as you meditate and as you pray over Scripture, you have the teacher of the Holy Spirit. At any point, somebody can say glory to God. At any point, glory to the Holy Spirit. As you read, as you meditate, as you pray, He's teaching. I have to admit, you know these things. Sometimes you get to a stretch and you're just stuck. You're bogged down. I need understanding. This is a transition point. This is such a key point. And you may be thinking things through and you've been trying to just walk away and meditate it, think on it. And then there's just moments. He just, all of a sudden, he clarifies it in the mind. It's the beauty, the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's real. You almost feel like somebody turned a really bright lamp on, and finally you're seeing things, and it's coming. It's ringing true to your heart. It's ringing true to your life. People ought to hear us talk that way. That the Word of God is precious, it's alive, it's true, and that it's being opened to us. He's illumining it to us. Jesus said in John 16, "He will guide you in all truth." He's speaking obviously to His men and preparing Him, but He's speaking to Christians in every generation. He will guide us in all truth. If He teaches us all things, then He will continue to guide us in the truth. And we need it. We need it. Keep opening it, you young people, you children. Open this book and ask God to make it life to you. Teach me, Lord. Teach me your word. Psalm 119 may be the great one that goes on and on. If David writing, asking God to make His law and His commandments and His statutes precious to him. I've said for years, if for some reason I was ever asked to be a chaplain on the spur of the moment and go down to a sporting event and have to go into the locker room and meet athletes, these big guys, these stars, and they said, "You got to be short. You can only use one passage." I would probably stay in the Gospels. But I have been tempted at times in that very truth to say to them, "Guys, I'm going to ask you a question that's in the Psalm 119. I want you to answer it. Wherewithal shall a man," or in that case, "wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways?" How does a man walk in purity? Walk in a holy way before the living God. See what they answer. And as you know, by taking heed thereto according to His word. This word, this living word, the Holy Spirit, makes alive to us. He feeds it to us. He guides us in it, and we can grow in Him. So let's just let Him liberate us to go on more in His truth. One other. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. Wow. I think maybe I was having to join in later this past Wednesday, but I think this may have been a part of the theme that Brother Michael Durham was giving to the saints on the Zoom call. And I could be wrong, Michael, but this thing of he helps us in prayer. He's not just watching us. He's in us. He's helping us in prayer because we're weak. We're frail. We don't have the right perspectives. We need Him, and He loves to help. You and I struggle with how do we pray? How do we ask? How do we beseech God on this? What do we ask Him to do? Turmoil in this country, needs within people that you know. How do we ask Him? What do we do? Well, the Holy Spirit is not just our teacher, but now He's our help. This truth of the Paraclete, He's compassionate. He's there. He's sympathetic. He's understanding. You don't always know how to pray, do you? If we're really honest, we say, I struggle with prayer all the time. And yet, He intercedes. He's right there with us. He's helping us. Listen to the Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That's King James. Our weaknesses, our frailties. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Boy, we could stop right there and say, that's true. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. We're limited. We're finite. We don't have the depth of being able to see it in the bigger purposes of God. But we don't stop. We continue on in prayer, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. He's with us, helping us as we pray to the Father. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Wow. What a statement. Saints, in our struggles with praying, are not knowing what would God's purpose be in this, not knowing what are all the other circumstances around it, what would God have? And we struggle and we hold back, or we don't want to pray, or we don't know how to pray. Saints, the Holy Spirit will help us. We just cry out to Him. Lord, help. Come, move. We need You. Do what You're going to do. We have to be careful that we don't have everything all packaged out. It says in our infirmities, He makes intercession for us. So the Holy Spirit with us is helping us pray. He's making intercession. The Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father is interceding for us. There's a lot going on with this triune God in prayer. Our prayer meetings are significant. Our prayers in our home, our prayer in your daily life, they are interceding. The Spirit, the Son, the Father is hearing. If you want to put it in this phrase, He's bringing our needs, our petitions, He's bringing them to God. He's purifying them. Isn't that something? When you think about somebody who's your messenger, somebody who's your presenter, when you fail to, can't even put it in words, you'll do that. Sometimes you'll say, I'm not even sure how to express this. Well, we know this. The Holy Spirit in our lives, He knows how to express everything to the Father in our frailty. He knows. He knows our needs. He uses this phrase, and I can't remember. Somebody might just tell me real quick. When it says in the King James, with groanings which cannot be uttered, or the ESV or NASB use any other word there?
Too deep for words.
Too deep for words. But what does it say for groanings? Did it use that word? Okay. Groanings. Now, this there's been a lot of men go down the path of heresy here. Groanings. If He's why would the Holy Spirit make groanings which cannot be uttered, which we cannot say? This is not gibberish. This is not some sort of a bizarre prayer language that men are striving for. This is communion with the Holy Spirit, with the Father and the Son. Saints, this ought to blow us away. These groanings, this language of frail humans and our needs and the Holy Spirit interceding for us, He is speaking, or He is coming in perfect harmony with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are communicating. They are expressing things on behalf of us. He is on behalf of us. I like this phrase. This is an inter-Trinitarian language, a pure and holy language between the Spirit and the Son and the Father. And we think our prayers and our struggles and our needs today and Wednesday night, we think they don't go anywhere? Yes, they do. Because the Holy Spirit gives power, He gives grace, and the Father knows our needs before we ask. And the Spirit helps us with our needs even when we don't know how to ask. Oh, saints, I just wanted to remind us, if we have the Spirit, which we do, He is teaching us, right? And He is bringing us on in prayer, and we need it. Do we ever? We learn with each other how to pray. But our teacher is the Holy Spirit. Our minister of grace and help in struggling with prayer, when you are bowed down and overloaded and at your wits' end and you don't know what's ahead, the Holy Spirit is sympathetically caring for us and offering up prayers on our behalf. This ought to make us weep. We have a sympathizing Savior, and His Spirit is with us. Prayers matter because He makes them matter. He loves us. We can say to our great God, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, our whole heart. I find myself sometimes, early in the morning, I typically like to just early when I'm first up, just go find a small, quiet spot in the house and just try to learn how to pray more and more. And just try to go with Him. Does everybody know what I'm saying with that? To go with Him. Lord, I want to pray with You. I want to come into the flow of Your majesty and Your splendor and Your will and Your wisdom. I want to come into You by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? Do you want that? We need that, saints. You need that. He's with us. He brings our needs before God. And He does it in perfect language and groanings and utterances to the Father. Perfect. Which means our prayers are not feeble. They're not to be cast away. They're not insignificant. They're precious to a loving Father. The Holy Spirit makes them that way for us. Anyway, these were truths that I wanted to make sure that we touched on. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Alan used the phrase, it's a good day. I liked when he said, it's a good day. It's a glorious day, beyond human words, the day we got the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Christ in us, Him living in us, His Spirit in us. He's guarding us, teaching us. He's taking up habitation. Think of this, saints. You have the Holy Spirit. And you can have more of Him, more leading, more reality, more where you step back and He takes over. That's what we want. He has been given. He's a gift. He's bestowed. He's deposited and put in us. It's a gift of God. To every child of God, He's been given. And therefore, He will remain. He will stay. He's not going anywhere else. We gather here because we love each other, but we love our great God and King. And the Shepherd, the great Shepherd, Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He's shepherding us. He's the one teaching us. And He's the one that teaches us these great things pertaining to prayer and walking in the truth and learning more of Him. Hallelujah. What a Savior and what a Holy Spirit we have. Saints, be helped today. Lord God, thank You. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the Holy Spirit. You with us. The Comforter, the One who guides us, brings us along, dwells in us. Oh, Lord, Your gift of Him that every child of God has the Holy Spirit. Lord, we will say there's so much more of You in that reality to live in, just to be freed up in, to be liberated in. Lord, help us. Help Your people today. Lord, I need it. I want, Lord, more of Thee, more of walking with You, hearing Your voice, seeing Your truth, going with You, learning more to pray. Thank You for Your tender care. Thank You, Lord, that You speak these truths to us. We need them. Blessed be Your name through Christ. Amen.